Got your Bibles, go to Deuteronomy. You got your Bibles, go to Deuteronomy. It's the fifth book in the Bible, so you start at Genesis. Keep walking to the right till you hit Deuteronomy. We're going to let everybody get there. I was taught growing up, sitting in Bible classes all those years, listening to preachers all those years, it became clear to me, I understood it, that if you wanted to resist temptation, if you wanted to fight off the devil, you use God's Word. I heard it taught over and over again when Jesus was being tempted by the devil in the wilderness. How did He overcome the temptation? Every time He said, "It is written," and He would quote from God's Word. Now, there's some positive things I learned from there. There's some other things I kind of assumed that if you just quoted Scripture, the temptation went away. Found out later that's not how it works. That the reason that you use God's Word is to help you remember what you're supposed to do. Not, it doesn't chase the devil away by just quoting Scripture. I don't know why I didn't learn that, but I learned that one the hard way. But it was not, I mean, it was, that was a long time ago I learned that. But it was not that long ago when I was reading those same stories, those same verses, when it dawned on me, Jesus was quoting from the book of Deuteronomy. So triggered in my imagination, I thought, that makes sense to me. That Jesus would have been taught by His mom, by His dad, by His rabbis. He would have been taught the law. And then I made the connection that if it helped Jesus resist the devil, why couldn't it help me? And if it could help Jesus please His Father, why couldn't it help me? So that's why I wanted us to read Deuteronomy together. That's why I wanted us to look at it again. Of 172 years I've been going to church. You know, going to church is dog years. It's like you multiply it by eternity. I've been going to church all my life, and I'd never heard anybody teach Deuteronomy. Now, I'd read it before because I was required to. I'd read it before because I do my daily Bible reading. I read it before because I wanted to read the whole Bible. But I'd never had anybody just teach me Deuteronomy. When you finish this study with me, you're going to say the same thing. Nobody's ever taught us Deuteronomy. But we're going to at least have read it together, all right? And here's what I want to get from it. Now, I'm going to pitch it back to you because I want you to breathe out before we breathe in. I want to learn the things that Jesus learned that helped Him be who He was, do what He did, resist the devil, please the Father, care about others. I want that in my life. And if Deuteronomy helped Him, I'm convinced it'll help me. Now, what is it you want out of this? In this reading of Deuteronomy, what do you want? Then I'll give you a chance to talk. What do you want? Before we get started, tell me, what is it you want out of this? If you grew up back in some of those days in some of those church buildings, you actually heard it said, that's Old Testament. As if, to basically take it out of the your consideration for a need to study. In spite of New Testament verses that said these things were written for our learning. You know, we sometimes, some people just marked it off. What is it you, maybe the question, well, what is it you want? Maybe what have you gotten out of it? What already, just in the reading of Deuteronomy that we've done just for the last several weeks, what is it you're getting? What is it you want to get? I'll let you answer it either way. Ralph.
It says in James that, you know, if you draw near to God, you can draw near to God. And I've been trying to do that, trying to be closer to God. It's fitting that you're teaching me. And the more that I do that, the more sin is being exposed in my life. And I'm just like, gosh, there's so much. And before I was very nonchalant about it. So I'm trying to use this to fight these sins. Because they're everywhere. I am surrounded by sin constantly. Every work, everything.
I love, Ralph just used the word roadmap. What have we read, what have we studied that would give power to the word that Ralph just used, roadmap? What's the word God has used in Deuteronomy that matches with the idea of this is a roadmap? Follow. He talks about follow. Now, following something means you're following directions. You're following somebody's leads. You're following something. That's a good word, roadmap. Deuteronomy, these words, the law, was a roadmap. Now, there is a New Testament verse, by the way, and we'll do more about this later, but there's a New Testament verse, by the way, that says that the law was given. This law, the law that Moses is repeating in Deuteronomy, was given to bring us to Jesus. So, if we're wanting to draw near to God, this is a good roadmap to follow. It'll help us get closer to Jesus. What is it you've gotten?
Something sticks in my mind, and I've heard this many times before, but I'll put it this way. I'll go along with what he said. There's a roadmap, and there's a plan. God has a plan for us. And I like the fact that in Deuteronomy, he's telling us a plan. There's a plan for us. And I heard this a while back, or actually I read it somewhere, but the point being made was that God doesn't have to consult us about his plan for us, and that this is his plan, not our plan. Mm-hmm. If our plan got us where we are, his plan will get us where we need to be. And that in so many ways, we tend to forget that there is comfort in his plan, not hardship, not pain, not problem. There's life, resurrection, for lack of a better word, in our life.
All right, say again, can you repeat what Kurt said about what is God's plan to do for us? It gets us where we need to be and where he wants us to be, which is ultimately where I want to be, right? Now, I'm going to say this, and it's going to be all of the, anytime we're going through this, we're going to be colored by this. There's some of us who grew up without any kind of religious, spiritual background at all. And the idea of God having a plan for us was foreign to us. We thought basically we were just on our own, and whatever happened in the day is what determined what kind of day we were going to have. And what kind of things happened in our family determined what kind of family we were going to have. And what kind of things happened in life or what kind of life I was going to have. And this place is full of those kind of people who don't have that background. Now, a big bunch of others of us grew up in church going, hearing God's Word taught, and we grew up believing that God had a plan for us. Now, what happened to us, those of us who grew up with that plan teaching, we almost got spiritually paranoid. That's the right way. We got spiritually paranoid about trying to discover what God's plan was for us. I can remember days of lots of prayer and lots of memorizing Scripture and lots of discussions about the direction of God for us and the plan God had for us. And a bunch of us guys, would pray, and I heard us, my own lips say it, and we would beg, God, please, God, reveal your plan for us. Reveal your plan for us. As if there was some secret mystery plan that God had in mind for us, where he was going to lead us. And you could almost get paralysis from analysis. You just, I don't know what God wants me to do. And you think I'm lying. I'm not. We had people that they had trouble getting dressed in the morning. Serious. They had trouble getting dressed in the morning because they didn't know what clothes God wanted them to wear that day. And they would pray for direction for God to choose what kind of clothes they were going to wear. Well, at that point, it kind of dawned on me, there's something wrong here. And I don't know if I asked the question or somebody else asked the question, but finally an old teacher said it this way. He said, fellas, he said, you're spending all this time praying that God will reveal his plan for you, as if there is some mystery, unrevealed plan he has in mind for you, when you won't obey the written down, revealed, black and white, or red and white, depending on your Bible, plan he has already written down for you. Boy, that hit me right between the eyes. And what Kurt just said, that's how, folks, that's how we discover this plan God has for us. That's how we discover where God leads us, is we follow the plan that we can read. We follow the plan that we can know. And these people were being led to a promised land. Is it that big a jump to understand that if I follow God, if I follow that roadmap, if I follow these instructions, I will end up where God wants me? I don't think that's a stretch at all. All right, I saw another hand, Bendigo. What do you want? What do you want out of this? What are you getting out of this?
What I see in this, early chapters of there, you also see the answer about forgiveness coming, like you see who's a refuge. You also see the year of release after 7 years. Even though it's the law, it's giving you a shadow of the New Testament and gospel.
Excellent. Now, let's take, this is Robert, by the way. Everybody, this is Robert. You haven't met Robert. This is Robert. Now, Robert, you're responsible for getting everybody's name before the end of the day. Okay. Now, remember we talked about it? What does the law? One of the things the law does, it does give us direction. Yes, it does. But what else does the law do? And it's what Robert's talking about. What does the law do? It points us to Christ. Yes. One more thing. It convicts us of sin. What else?
James says it sets us free.
It sets us free. Not this law, but the law of liberty does. Give me, and remember your first lesson. Your first lesson. It shows us the character of God. You get a donut hole. All right. It gives us the character of God. Remember in all these commandments, what is God reminding them? God is faithful and God is merciful, and God is powerful. In the first three chapters of Deuteronomy, he sets those themes, and it comes up over and over again. Cities of refuge, we haven't discussed yet. We will. Cities of refuge, God is, the Lord our God is merciful. Him taking them through a desert, and their shoes not wearing out, their clothes not wearing out, bread falling out of heaven, our God is powerful. Taking a wicked, hard-headed, stiff-necked people and dragging them through the wilderness to get them to a promised land just because he promised it to their fathers, our God is faithful. So in all these commands, we're learning. And that's what Jesus was learning, that God is faithful and God is merciful and God is powerful. He was learning these things so that he could live these things. And let's tie the knot right here. And I appreciate, you'll get other opportunities to say what you're looking at and what you're learning. But that's what I want out of this. I want His Word in my life making a difference on how I live. I want it to change the way I live. Now, you thought you dodged it, but you didn't. Before we start our study, we've got to remember there are 10 commandments given. They are at the heart. They're the backbone. They're the framework of the law. What are those 10 commandments? And I know it's a Rex's Revised Version. No other gods. No idols. Don't misuse God's name. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy, right? 5, honor your father and mother. 6, don't kill. 7, commit adultery. 8, don't steal or end up in jail. I learned this from a kid in jail, by the way. 9, don't lie. And 10, don't covet. At the heart of those things, God wanted His people to know those things because they reveal God to us. They expose sin to us, just like Ralph said. But they also can give us that roadmap on how to get from where we are right now to where God wants us to be. All right, we got it? Now, go to chapter, is it 10? What did I tell you? I forgot to turn my Bible there, so sorry. I want you to look in chapter 10, verse 12. The first part of 10 is going to be him restating that he brought them the commandments down, a second set of stone. What happened to the first set? Moses broke them because of their sin. He was breaking those commandments like they were breaking the commandments. Right? You see the illustration there. But the commandments of God cannot be broken. They are eternal, so He wrote them in stone with His finger, and God had them saved in that special ark. That's what the first part of 10 says. Why don't you look at verse 12? 12 and 13 are where the lesson is, or at least the introduction to the lesson, because 10 and 11, He expands on what He says in verses 12 and 13. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? Okay? Now, Israel, what does the Lord God ask of you? Now, stop a second. I'm telling you, when I read this, and I don't know, I mean, I've read it a bunch of times, but this time preparing for these lessons, it dawned on me how simple this is. We make the Bible so complicated sometimes. We make our studies and we make our doctrine so complicated. I hear people say it all the time. They say, man, the Bible is just so hard to understand. And I'll ask them, well, tell me something that you've read that makes the Bible hard to understand. And a lot of times they'll say, well, I don't know. It's just hard to understand. I've never read the Bible. Well, that may be why it's hard to understand. But when you just say, Lord, what do you ask of me? What do you want? Oh, Lord, here is what the Lord asks of you. Now, in the version I'm using now, there are 5 things. And since I'm getting to stand up here at front today, guess what? We're going to use mine, all right? I want you to know note the five things. And you've got to find them. You won't learn it unless you earn it. So what's the 5 things? Lord, what does the Lord your God ask of you? And He says, but to fear the Lord. Next one. To walk how? In all His ways. Doesn't it say all? All His ways. Number 3, love Him. Very simple. Next one, serve the Lord. Now how? With all your heart, with all your soul. And number 5, to observe. I missed. Fear the Lord, walk in all His ways, love the Lord, serve Him, heart and soul, and observe what? Observe the Lord's commands and decree that I'm giving you today. All right, now, take those 5 things. We're going to commit those to memory. We're going to commit these 5 things to memory. So, and here's why. A couple of reasons why. Well, it's obvious why, right? It's God's Word. You put those things in your head. If it's God's Word, you try to remember those things. But the reason I want us to note it, and I know us, and I know the folks that are coming in that second meeting, you know what I need to do every morning when I wake up? If God wakes me up in the morning, you know what I need to be asking? What do you want me to do today, Lord? What do you ask of me today? What is it you expect from me today, God? And here's a statement, 5 simple, I didn't say easy, I said simple. 5 simple things that I can in my bed, before I get out of my bed, I can hear from God, what does He want of me today? What do you ask of me today, Lord? Number 1, to fear Him. Number two, to walk in all His ways. Number three, to love Him. And four, serve Him with all my heart and soul. And five, to observe the commands and decrees. Now, I'm going to leave them up there for a minute, but they're about to disappear. So write them down or lay them up in your heart. Let's don't wear this out, because I want us to have plenty of time at the end of our meeting to tie a knot about what's coming up in a minute. But give me our understanding already. Many of you have grown up and going to Bible classes. You've grown up knowing these things, hearing these things taught. What does it mean to fear the Lord? What does it mean to fear the Lord? If you fear the Lord, you'll hate evil. Give me another one. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and or / the beginning of wisdom, depending on what verse in Proverbs you're reading. The knowledge of the fear of the Lord is to help you hate evil, to shun evil, to help you get wisdom. Fear of the Lord. Respect. Fear the Lord. To know His power. Fear the Lord. Honor Him. Respect Him. Obey Him. Fear the Lord. It humbles me. Fear the Lord astounds me, amazes me. When I look at God, I'm amazed at God. So you put all that good stuff that you were thinking and saying and put it in that word. So when I rise up in the morning and I think, Lord, what are you asking me today? He said, Rex, this morning I want you to fear me. Now, is that the old be scared and not approach Him because I can't touch the mountain? No, because we've got a different mountain, right? We've got a different covenant. But can I still respect, be impressed by, be humbled by, drawn to the Lord? Yeah. Jump New Testament for me. You guys are old-time Bible students. Tell me one thing in the New Testament that would give you reason to be impressed with God. To fear the Lord, to respect the Lord. I'll use some of your words. One thing in the New Testament that would cause you laying there in your bed, you go, man, that's right. The God that was able to do that is able to take care of me. The God that did that wants the same of me. What would it be? He raised the dead. That would impress you, right? Okay, now think about it, how you would apply it. Laying in your bed, meditating on this, fear the Lord.
He took an average person, fisherman like Peter, turned him into what he did.
If he turned a stone into a rock, if he turned in a riding the roller coaster of emotions, ups and downs, and turned him into a man who would speak the Word of God, the gospel for the first time on Pentecost, what can he do with me? I love to teach the thought, if he could turn a dirt clod into a man, what can he do with a man who acts like a clod? Right? If he could take a donkey and convert a prophet, what can he do with a prophet or a preacher who acts like a donkey? That's careful of my words there. If he could take a grasshopper and humble a Pharaoh, what can he do with me? You see the point? That we fear the Lord, God is amazing. And that's the word, I think, really is the root of the word. To fear the Lord is to be amazed by Him, to be astounded by Him. So Lord, what do you ask of me? I want you to be amazed by me, Rex. All right, number two, walk. Now walk where? All right, now you got to, this, if you did it a minute ago, and I appreciate you doing it, but you got to do it again. There's four more points up here. What does the Bible say? What has the Bible taught us? Now the folks in the second meeting aren't going to be able to do this like you. They haven't been Bible students as long as you have. But What does it mean to walk in all His ways?
To live.
To live. All right, keep going. How do you do that? What do you hear from God's Word that gives you that kind of direction? Walk in His steps. 1 Peter 2 says, to walk in the steps of Jesus. Keep going. Yep, when you lay down, when you rise up, when you sit the house, when you walk in the way, you walk in His ways. Keep going.
Walking in the light.
1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Walking in the light as He is in the light. Now, what does this mean to walk in all His ways? All right, we're coming back to Proverbs again. Proverbs 3, we trust the Lord, we fear, amazed at the Lord, and we allow Him, we walk, acknowledge Him in all our ways, and He will direct our steps, He will make our path straight, we'll walk in His ways. No, we don't, do we? Blessed is the man who outstanding young lady, you get a donut hole. Out does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. So it's another not. I don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. I don't follow the crowd. I love the verse, Ephesians 5 is where you'll find it, where he says you walk in love. Because you're children of God and you become imitators of God, you walk in love. I think I've told some of you about, I had a friend in school, his name was Berkey. I have no idea why they named him that. I don't know that he's yet forgiven his parents for naming him that, but his name was Berkey. His dad, I can't tell you about his dad until I tell you about him. Berkey had a funny walk gait. His gait was funny. He just, when he would walk, he would throw a leg out kind of like this. It was really, and it was distinct. Now, it wasn't probably as pronounced as I'm showing you, but when you're playing with kids on the playground and you're watching them run, he just had a unique gait to his walk. And it's one of those things I noticed. Didn't bother me. We still played together and that kind of stuff. And one day I'm in downtown metropolis of Sudan, and I'm standing across from Joe Wilkerson's barber shop, and I see a man walking down the sidewalk. And he's very pronounced, doing like that. I'm with one of my brothers, and I said, "Hey, who's that guy right there?" He said, "That's Marvin, Berkey's dad." Berkey had learned to walk watching his dad. Now, his dad had been wounded in World War II, gotten shrapnel in his leg, and it had damaged his leg. So for him to walk, he had to pick it up and throw it out to walk. And Berkey had grown up watching his dad walk, and it had affected him. Well, can you hear the point? If we're children of God, wouldn't it make sense that we learn to walk like our Father? And to walk like Jesus. And it's not just something you put on a one of those little wristbands you wear or a bumper sticker. It's not just a book you read. It's this morning, Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, Rex, I want you to act like me. I want you to walk like me. I want you to do what I would do in all my ways. All right, what does love mean? Let's go to the next one. We're not going to wear it out. But what does he mean? He said, I want you to love me. Jesus said it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Keep telling me. What does it mean? Jesus will say, if you're going to love God, if you're going to fulfill the commandments, you love God and love your neighbor. That sums them up. Keep going. We read it in Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Straight. And what you're doing is you're quoting from Matthew, Mark, Luke, Deuteronomy. He'll say at one point, if you add them all up, Love the Lord of God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Deuteronomy only does three. But here's the point. If that's what I'm thinking when I get up in the morning, if that's the way I approach every day, God, I love you and I want to do what you want me to do. What do you want me to do today? He said, I want you to love me. Now, how would that affect my day? How would that affect my decisions? I want to do what He wants me to do, not just what I want to do. When you love somebody, what do? How does it affect your decisions? How does it affect my decisions? How does it affect my choices? How does it affect my life if I love Him? God is love, and if love is patient, and I'm going to love God and walk in His ways, what am I going to do? I'm going to be, let's see how many, don't peek. Let's see how many of those we can remember, because at one time I've made us memorize all 15 of those. It's been a while, so it'll take us, but love is patient, and love is kind, and love is, does not envy. It's long-suffering. It's patient. Love is, it does not keep a record of wrong. It is not self-seeking, not selfish. Doesn't boast. Slow to anger, not easily irritated, one version says. Keep no records of wrongs. Love believes all things, hopes all things. And I love one very modern speech translation puts one of those words is love gives the benefit of the doubt. And love never fails. Now folks, think about it. It doesn't rejoice in evil either, but it rejoices with the truth. We dropped that one. But think about it. If I woke up in the morning and said, that's how I'm going to live today. If that's how I'm going to treat my wife today. If that's how I'm going to treat my children. If I'm going to treat my husband. It's how I'm going to treat my parents. It's how I'm going to treat my boss. It's how I'm going to treat my employees. It's how I'm going to treat my neighbor. It's how I'm going to treat the person that's waiting on me at the cafe. If I love Him, I'll do what He asks of me. All right? What does it mean to serve Him? All right, did you hear, Jared? Jared, I want you to say that again, but I want you to assert that yourself. Let it out.
Whatever you do for the least, you also do for
them. Can you tell me where he just quoted?
Matthew 25.
Excellent. Y'all are good students. Y'all are such good students. Matthew 25, Jesus will teach that if you do this to the least of these, you're doing it unto me. What does it mean to serve Him? Keep going. Don't wear it out. Don't wear it out. Just what does it mean to serve Him? All right, Jesus was a servant, and so there were times He washed feet. What do? When you're a servant, what do? You do what they need done. Keep going. To serve the Lord. What do you want? What do you think that means? How does it affect my decisions? You're always available? You make yourself available. Are you always available? I want to make sure because we need to do some differentiation here, because we grew up being taught, you're always available. And for some of us, it put us into a situation where we damaged ourselves because we weren't being... Was Jesus always available? No. There were times He hiked down the mountain to get away from those folks. But we make ourselves available. All right? We'll change the way we say that. What does it mean to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul?
Your attitude should be the same as Christ. Being God, in very nature being God, not consider Himself equal with God, something to grasp. He made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of made human life as being found in the appearance of man, humbled Himself, and became obedient to death.
So if Jesus saw the need to serve the Lord to that extent, what about me? Now one more time, I need you to think about servant, because I don't know that we've hit it yet. We hit it with love, but we didn't hit it with servant yet.
Pure religion is taking care
it ends up taking care of others. It's me doing what somebody else wants me to do for someone that I may not want to do it.
1 John 3 explains a lot of that.
Love in word and truth. Not just saying it. Not just smiling and licking our teeth and saying, we love everybody. No, it's getting our hands dirty, folks. This is getting your hands dirty. This is making your back hurt. This is making you sleepy at night, tired in the afternoon because you stayed up too late. All right, last one. What does he mean to observe? This is the simplest one up there. The simplest one up there. What does it mean to observe?
Follow.
What does it mean to do? Do not add, do not take away. Observe. Easiest way to define it. Obey. Just do it. Don't be a hearer, but a doer of the word, James will say. How many of us became, honest time, how many of us became pretty good hearers sitting in church all those years? And we heard them, amen, amen, amen. And basically, honest, we didn't amen a lot. What we did basically is we judged the sermon. Honest, didn't we? Wasn't that our view of church for a long time? Is how did the service go? And you rated the sermon. Well, that was one of his better ones. Or that wasn't one of his better ones. And it was like we were in the Olympics grading the ice skating deal, you know. Oh, that was a 9.2, that was a 7.5, that was a 3.2. That was from the East German judges, if you remember those days. Oh, those of us old enough will know what that means. But we've done that with church, haven't we? That song leader, he sang those songs too fast, he couldn't keep up with him. Or he sang them so slow, I guess they thought we were at a funeral. Preacher preached too long, never preached too short. Preached too loud, couldn't get your nap out. Or he preached too soft, you couldn't hear him. We have become hearers and not doers. God said this, you want to ask of you? Is do it. Now, let's tie this up here, and I'm going to show you a couple more things, and then we're done. The real work's still coming when we tie the knot. Melanie said it to me this morning when we were going over this. I'll say what she said, see if you agree. Because if you disagree, then you can say it about her, not me. She said, if you do any one of these things, you're doing all of these things. Would you agree with that? If you're doing any one of these things, you're doing all of these things. Because if you love God, what do? Fear, walk, serve, observe. If you really observe and do and not just hear, you fear, walk, love, serve. If you serve the Lord and you become His servant and do what He wants you to do, when He wants you to do it, how He wants you to do it, you fear, walk, love, observe. You see the point? So five different ways He said the same thing. Put it in your words now. Put it in your words. What did He ask us to do? What does He ask of us?
Give ourselves to Him.
Commitment. All right, so you're observing, you're watching, you're paying attention. What does it mean? Sum it up in your words. I'm sorry? You walk circumspectly. My old Bible says, your real Bible says, these Bibles we use, it says carefully. You're paying attention. You're not getting rambunction with His will. You're being careful about it. Go ahead. That good point. He doesn't want anything less from us than He gave Himself. I'm going to tie it up with the words that Jesus said, and you will become like your Father. Isn't that what God asked? Isn't that what the Father asked of every one of His children? Today, be like me. Grow up to be like me. Would that not be a way to sum it up? So, Lord, what do you ask of me this morning? What do you ask of me today? And if God wakes me up in the morning, what does he ask of me? Fear him and walk in all his ways and love him and serve him with all your heart and all your strength and with all your soul. I'm sorry, all your heart and all your soul. Serve him with all your heart and soul. And then five, observe. Those things are what he asks of us. Now, you know what it's going to take for that to get done. And I've got to show you this before we do anything else, and then we'll have the supper, because it's the right time. You got to look at verse 16. Deuteronomy 10, verse 16 is the key. It's at the heart of this. How do I do that, y'all? How do I fear, walk, love, serve, observe? How do I do that? What's got to take place in me first? You tell me so you know I'm not making it up. 10:16, what does it say? Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. To circumcise your heart. When a child is circumcised, somebody else is taking care of the circumcision. When a person becomes a Christian and they are baptized into Jesus and their souls are being circumcised, the sin is being cut off, Jesus is doing the work. Who's got to do the work on this one? I've got to do the work on this one. Circumcise your hearts. I can't circumcise your heart. You can't circumcise mine. I've got to circumcise my heart. So this morning, while we eat this bread and we remember the body of Him who gave everything He gave, all had, to fear, walk, love, serve, obey the Lord, His Father, and He did that for us. Maybe there's some things I'll find in my heart. Maybe there'll be some things I see in my life. Maybe there'll be some things I see in my attitudes that need to be circumcised. They need to be exercised. They need to be cut off. They need to be put off. They need to be put away. Let's examine ourselves. And then when we do that, when we drink that cup and we remember the blood of the one who gave his all for us, remember that we thank God that we're forgiven. That blood washes away our sins. That's outstanding. But we still have work to do. I am forgiven, and He counts me as forgiven, and I thank God for that. But do I have still some work to do in my heart and in my life for me to become like Him? Yeah. Let's examine ourselves. Let's celebrate His gift to us while we eat the supper.